The last thing airlines wanted to deal with.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America, working to meet the capital needs of qualified businesses and consumers. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/ahead.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. This holiday weekend, airline travelers were met with increased security measures after news that a Nigerian man had tried to detonate a hidden explosive on a flight to Detroit. Even if nobody was hurt in the incident, it's not exactly great PR for airlines. How much is this going to affect business? Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports.
Shoes off, liquids in a bag, laptops out. Just when you thought you'd finally mastered the routine of post-September 11 air travel, the rules are changing again. So if you're flying, expect more pat-downs, more bomb-sniffing dogs, and no more in-flight entertainment. Richard Abulafia is an airline analyst. He says the latest scare probably won't scare passengers off too much.
At the end of the day, international travelers tend to be pretty savvy about things, and they know that aviation security is provided by the government, and it works really well.
He says what might scare them, though, are those new security rules.
They overreact to the problem and start making rules like you can't have a book on your lap for the last hour of the flight or something.
Some analysts have said if the restrictions get too onerous, business travelers may reconsider. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Holiday shoppers spent a little more this season, according to MasterCard anyway. The company said this morning retail sales from November 1st through December 24th were up 3.6% from a year ago. European markets are a little higher today, about 0.5%, those markets that were not closed for Boxing Day. We got word from Japan today that factory production there jumped, and China said its policy of easy credit will continue. Asian markets rose on the day. Oil is at a four-week high, around $78 a barrel. Wall Street was closed Friday for Christmas. On Thursday, the Dow gained 53 points and closed at 10,520. The first match of the World Cup soccer tournament in South Africa is still 6 months away, but already countries are preparing their bids to host the 2018 Games. This is the world's biggest sporting event. When the U.S. hosted in 1994, more than 3 million fans attended the Games. They brought in an estimated $4 billion. No surprise then that the U.S. is on the bidding list again. Marketplace's Nancy Fargali reports.
Snagging the World Cup could bring in $5 billion and add more than 70,000 jobs. That's according to David Downs. He's the executive director of the U.S. bid. He says that's why nearly 30 cities are competing for a limited number of slots as host cities.
I think some of the cities that may surprise you a little more, that may not be on the tip of everybody's tongue, but that have managed to impress us, Nashville or a Kansas City or something, a city that didn't host in 1994, but has demonstrated a tremendous amount of passion.
There's also a tremendous amount of money at stake. Take Los Angeles in 1994. Economists say the city raked in almost $600 million from hosting the World Cup final. And that's why Los Angeles Councilman Tom Labonge wants another go-around.
If you have a big World Cup and the series of weeks build up and all the activity around, I'm sure it's well into the hundreds of million dollars, if not $1 billion, when 2018 rolls around.
The U.S. committee will make a final selection of cities in the next few weeks. Then they'll submit their formal bid to International Soccer Supervisory Body in May. I'm Nancy Fergali for Marketplace.
The sci-fi film Avatar led the way to Hollywood's biggest U.S. box office weekend of all time, $278 million over the last 3 days, according to estimates from Hollywood.com.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America, working to meet the capital needs of qualified businesses and consumers. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/ahead.
A lot of people are looking back at 2009 these days, but do you really want to relive that year? Let's look forward with our regular commentator, former Labor Secretary Robert Reich. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
We've got to start with jobs. What do you expect for employment in 2010?
Well, the news is probably going to be pretty good. Employers will start hiring again, not because of a big pickup in demand, but because companies will start replacing inventories and consumers will have to replace cars and appliances that have worn out. Also because the government is still going to have a lot of stimulus spending to go, and the Fed has no intention of raising rates anytime soon.
And speaking of interest rates there, where are you on the great inflation debate?
No worry there. Whether it's something like Japan going into deflation or Dubai defaulting on its debts, global investors will continue to seek the safety of the dollar, which means we'll be able to continue to borrow from the rest of the world at very low interest rates.
So what is your biggest worry for 2010?
It's American consumers. They're 70% of the economy, and they still won't be in a mood to buy. Their jobs are continuing to be precarious. Their homes still worth less than they were 2 years ago. They'll have to get out from under lots of debt, and there's not going to be enough purchasing power to support a strong recovery in 2010, maybe not even in 2011.
You did mention being worried about our abounding federal budget deficit.
Well, I'm not. Actually, as consumers and firms continue to cut their debt loads, and state governments are still slashing jobs and raising taxes, which they will do in 2010, the federal government may have to go even deeper into debt just to keep the economy on track.
What about the stock market?
I expect a correction. The market is way ahead of the real economy right now, so I'm a little concerned. This can't go on for long.
So, Robert, when we have this discussion a year from now, where do you think our economy is going to be overall?
I expect better than we are today, Bill, but I'm afraid not by much. I wish I could be more optimistic, but that's my honest prediction.
Fair enough. Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich is now a professor of public policy at the University of California at Berkeley. A happy new year, Robert.
Happy new year to you, Bill.
Well, if the new year brings economic hurt, we'll be here to explain it. If the new year brings hurt feelings, well, you might want to take a Tylenol. A study in the journal Psychological Science suggests the painkiller acetaminophen might relieve the psychological pain of social rejection. The researchers say more study is needed to better understand that mind-body connection. This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.